Swim Back Prince. So we ended off, and I made a reference to Dan Book. This is a wonderful, wonderful summary of his thoughts and approaches to spiritual warfare. A very nice companion piece to Timothy Gallagher's Ignatian Spiritual Discernment. It's published by Sophia. So there's that. Yes, Discernment Spirits. Here's, and let's wave this one. Timothy Gallagher, The Discernment of Spirits, an Ignatian Guide for Everyday Life by Crossroad. Okay. Thesis statement. So a remedy to counter malaise is authentic gratitude. So let us define malaise and or dysphoria. And that would be a subset of sloth or acedia, which is a capital vice. And or it can be a time of spiritual desolation using the Ignatian definition of what that is. So malaise, a second definition of it would be a vague sense of mental or moral ill-being. Dysphoria, it's a state of feeling very unhappy, uneasy, or dissatisfied. So capital vices with the definitions. So paragraph 1886 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, second edition, refers to these sins as capital sins and explains why they are most dangerous. Vices can be classified according to the virtues they oppose, or also be linked to capital sins, which Christian experience has distinguished following St. John, Cassian, and St. Gregory the Great. They are called capital because they engender other sins, other vices. And listing them out, they are pride, avarice, or greed, envy, wrath, lust, gluttony, and sloth. And then we're going to break them out a little bit.
Yeah, it is interesting because that we were talking a little bit about the discernment of the spirits and to be very cognizant of making certain that you are, following holy spirits, the holy angels, your guardian angel. And because virtue, that golden mean, right? The virtue resides in the middle of like counterfeit vices. And it's so easy for us to be pulled away from truth. And the more that you are not engaging with goodness, beauty, and truth, the more likely that you're going to be susceptible to those seven deadly sins. One is going to draw you away, and not in a negative way. And I think that's actually one of the mistakes that we make when we talk about these as being deadly sins or as capital sins, is that we think that nobody would want to commit those, right? No, well, who's going to want to commit a deadly sin? Well, that's part of the problem, right? Is that Satan is capable of taking these things and giving them an appearance of goodness. And, you don't start out with a negative pride. You don't start out with a terrible envy, right? One that would make you want to cause harm to someone else. No, they start out in good ways, right? You admire the beauty of the thing that the person has, right? It's not the evil that draws you in. It's the goodness that is potentially there. And so we really have to be cognizant of that, right? That it's the small steps, slow incremental changes over time that pull us away from the center virtue and move us out into those opposing vices on either side. And it does seem a little bit unjust, right? That there's two vices for every virtue, but that's just the way it goes, right?
That's true. And that's how Satan approached Eve, right?
Right.
She was seeing the good qualities that was being proposed to her. And she, of course, had a clear intellect. She was in right relationship with her body and her mind, right relationship with God and with Adam and with all of creation. She was in a place that we can scarcely fathom.
Right.
So what she was seeing was the good. Oh, that is good for, it's beautiful, wisdom. And then there.
And are we supposed to become like God? I mean, you're right. I mean, like you think about that. Yes, that's the what we're supposed to grow to become more like God. That is what we're supposed to be. Yeah. We have to be very cognizant of the fact that no matter how well honed our intellects could ever become, I mean, outside of grace, right? That we will never be smarter than Satan. He just is never. I mean, his intellect is second only, really. I mean, outside of the Trinity, right? I mean, and really the Blessed Mother, simply because she's perfection, right? Personified, and anybody in grace. But I mean, barring all of those things, right? I mean, our intellect
is. Well, he was a seraphim. He was the highest, right? That's right. The highest rank. The highest fire. So yes, that's right. We have to have a real sense of our poverty, and also, as you were mentioning, our incredible gift in Christ, which right. The Desert Fathers are. This is that, you know, you just don't wallow in despair. You just don't let right. Satan come mull you over. You fight back, and you right. you know. But you're not doing it out of your strength.
Right.
You know, your poverty. You're doing it out of what the good Lord has done for us, you know, in the Passion, in the Paschal Mystery.
Right.
All right. Pride. So we'll start with some of the list, and we'll pick up in the next show with some more of the list. Pride. That is a popular one amongst us humans. It's an excessive love of self or the desire to be better or more important than others. Respect for the human person proceeds by way of respect for the principle that everyone should look upon his neighbor without exception as another self, above all bearing in mind his life and the means necessary for living it with dignity. Number 1931. Lust. An intense desire, usually for sexual pleasure, but it also can be for money, power, or fame. The God of promises always warned man against seduction by what from the beginning has seemed good for food, a delight to eyes, that's what we're talking about with Eve, to be desired to make one wise, right? Those are three goods that it was appealing. That's number 2541. Gluttony, overconsumption, usually of food or drink, the virtue of temperance, disposes us to avoid every kind of excess, the abuse of food, alcohol, tobacco, or, and I find this interesting, medicine.
Oh, yeah, and especially for the modern world, right? I mean, we're just, you know, we're just trained to believe that all goodness comes at the other side of a pill or an injection. Like there's no, nobody wants moral responsibility anymore. You know how you were saying at the beginning, there is some element to a person having to be cognizant of the fact that treating their body, abusing their body, and then expecting to be happy is a real, it's just not possible. You really won't. And I think that we see that a little bit now where the flesh is becoming really, we're becoming Gnostic again, right? Where the body doesn't matter anymore. We're all spiritual beings. I can do whatever I want to my body. I can put whatever I want into my body. And then I'll just take this pill. Like, look at this new thing, right? That's coming down the pike, this Ozempic thing, right? I mean, it's almost like birth control for the appetite in a really weird way, because I was listening to RFK talk about this thing, and basically it literally suppresses everything.
That's right.
So, I mean, talk about flatlining joy.
Yeah.
I mean, one should never approach, like, you know, I think that this is one of those areas within the Catholic Church that is so profoundly beautiful. My kids were asking me the other day, why is a feast day called a feast day? And I said, because they did. I mean, that's it. Like, I mean, you know, there are many opportunities. in life where we fast, but we should never look upon food as an enemy, right? I mean, food tastes good for a reason. Our Lord is can't be outdone in generosity. So when you look at the beauty of an apple and then you bite into it and, you know, there's this kind of flavor explosion in your mouth, that's a gift. For it's sure. Just that when you eat 15 of them, yeah, and you wake up tomorrow morning with a sore stomach, well, our Lord's trying to teach you something, right? So we have to get back into that, I don't know, like when you were talking about gluttony, well, we haven't gotten to gluttony yet, but these sins, you know, they just multiply one after the other if we are not rightly directed. I'm sorry, I just totally ran with whatever train of thought that you were on. And
No. And you were right. And in fact, we're going to pick up in the next episode because we're going to continue with that. All right, friends, till the next time. Fide Sirachio.